the book to books. Those books that compose the book of books
are important to us, and we have spent some time in Colossians. We're thankful for this little book and the amount of revelation that is so concisely put in the pages of this book. May we benefit as we evaluate the development of the teaching of the spiritual life in the Colossians. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we're moving in. This is probably the most important part of it. As we come to this segment, so like I said, the paper has 28 pages, and we're going to talk fast. And what's happening is I'll do this till break. Luther will come and present his material on confession. Then we'll move into the last part of it, and that will move us into, with the end of it, that of course will be our last session. At the end of this, we will be we'll have communion. We're going to be set up for that, as we have done. Grant's going to share the communion song, which has kind of become almost a tradition when he's here, as we are reminded of our privilege in communion. And then we will again have that opportunity to be at my place. And like I said, I think my grandson's going to be there, so. That'll be, I haven't seen for a week, so I got this, you know. Okay, so let's embark in studies. The subject, the development of Colossians teaching concerning the spiritual life. I asked the first session, which book would you be, if you were stuck and you only had one book to take with you somewhere, I don't know, I'm trying to sell Colossians, but no, there are so many of them, you could pick it, be just fine. If we had two of them, I know what they'd be. Probably Colossians and Ephesians. That's what I would think. I might be real interested in taking Hebrews, because I find Hebrews has got some very, would be interesting to be able to work until somebody rescued me in that matter. And so this book is really a book that deals with the spiritual life. Yes, we have that section of heresy and problems, but the spiritual life is an answer to heresy. And so where there is heresy, if you're living in a relationship as a right hand, you will find that a lot of this stuff that they say about your Savior and about your salvation is taken care of, because at the right hand, it's going to be perfect. But if you're going to diddle-daddle down here with heresy, people will come in, and they want to, and Satan wants to, make you independent of God, and to do it your way, or to do it Satan's way, and so they try to do that. And Colossians emphasizes all of the beauty of what we have because of the work of Christ and its application. And so I start in the first paragraph. It provides a backbone, and I'm just jumped into the middle of it. It provides a backbone of grace revelation, establishes doctrine that will permit the Godhead to provide resurrection life and eternal life and present tense salvation. Colossians does not provide a set of rules or steps that produce spirituality. It provides no magic formula or a silver bullet that makes a Christian spiritual. It is easy to arrange steps or rules for becoming spiritual. And you can get them all. I remember back a number of years ago at a certain Bible college, they're not called that anymore, but they had three different textbooks on how to be on this Christian life. And they were all different. Even though one of them was Chafer's, He That Is Spiritual. And they were different. And I thought they required the prof required the students to read all three of them. And I thought, when you get done, what are you going to be? I know exactly what you're going to be. Confused in that matter. And so it's really interesting. As was mentioned before, He That Is Spiritual is a very, very, very good book. It's a very essential book. But Grace is better. I mean, it sets you up. Chafer's Grace. And so that's important. And this, you know, when we use this magic formula, and that same institution, we had someone there accuse us of having a magic formula. But their magic formula was 1 John 1:9 will make you automatically spiritual. And so a lot of those graduates went out believing that, and what happens, they haven't been spiritual probably since day one, except by accident. No, that's providence. But sometimes that happens. You know, you get in the right part of God's Word and you read it, and that's what that really will affect one's life. And so they had that view, and the bottom line is you can't do anything to be spiritual. It becomes a kind of legalism. You know, set your reflective thinking on things above. If that's a part of a magic formula that you're going to cause God to make you spiritual, that is legalism. And that's what happens for a lot of people. You know, they get the right verses and misapply them, and they don't realize how big God really is. And that's what we're going to be talking about more here than otherwise. Colossians emphasizes the fact that a Christian can remove himself or herself mentally to the place where Jesus is. That is, on the right hand of God the Father. I mean, if you have a position in Christ, where is he focusing his existence in his human nature? It is at the right hand, and so that's this line. And I'm admitting that it's a line that I liked in J.B. Stoney. He emphasized some of that in some of the material I've been reading recently. And I thought, you know, that really makes... We go to where Jesus is rather than to arm wrestle down here, trying to find him down here, when our focus is where we are in Christ at the right hand. And so we should be occupied with things that are provided in Christ by God's grace, where the Christian's head and frame of mind are, where Christ, Jesus is, the persons of the Godhead can accomplish their plan for the believer's life without interference. The Holy Spirit is the immediate active agent that produces a fruit of the Spirit, which is a character of Christ, and he is the agent by which eternal life is lived in human bodies of believers. He is the person that activates the quality of God the Father's nature, that is the believer's new nature. He is the divine teacher that completes the final stage of Christian learning for the spiritual Christian. Now, final stage, I looked at that when I read it a couple times later, and I'm not saying that you can learn at all. You go into that stage that moves from abiding into fellowship and those relationships with the Father and maturing. And that's our goal when we share most, I mean, the seminary exists for that purpose, of helping mature saints. And that's what tends to happen is the word is taught as long as the Holy Spirit leads the men when they're in ministry. And that's so crucial in that matter. And so while the believer has removed himself or herself to the right hand and is occupied at the right hand, the persons of the Godhead will be permitted to work present tense salvation in the believer. And that is really, really, really important. And I'm going to jump and scoot. I've been having a lot of fun in Woodburn because I'm not confined. I chase all kinds of rabbits. And now I've chased jackrabbits and white ones and brown ones and spotted ones and jackalopes. No. I mean, it gives the people who are there, we're able to ask questions and get on board with those questions. It's really hard in our regular evening school program to do that. We have 12 weeks to get something done. Down there, if I don't get done after 12 weeks, I'll go 2.5 quarters to do that. And that's what we've been doing in the material that I'm working down there. And the material there has been involving how your position in Christ activates the benefits of regeneration. You have two works of the Holy Spirit, and we'll do it simple. One puts you in Christ, the other word puts Christ in you. And the same thing is true of both the other persons of the Godhead. And so we've been working on that side, how it activates. And out of this, in my notes, I had what began to look like an acronym. Let's see, what do I do? you turn it on and push the right button. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Okay, and this was an acronym. It was kind of interesting because we had gone through this material, and it was really, I was having a lot of fun. I think most of the other people were there. And it had R and O. I had this emphasis on remove and occupy. And I came back the next Monday night, and Tanya Pruitt came up, and she said, I was thinking about this all week, and she said, I think we have an acronym we can use. And so she came up with the L-E on it, so R-O-L-E. And this is important to us as we understand. R is remove. That is, you mentally remove yourself to your position in Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Now, we've emphasized very strongly the fact that your position is one position, and it is a position in one person. That's why it is a single position. God the Father looks at you and sees you in Christ. In other words, he looks at Christ, the person, and you have what he has done in his mind. God can impute that and does that to us. And so that is the focus. Occupy is occupy yourself with your position and possessions at the right hand, but mostly position. Occupy. How much time do you dwell in your reflective thinking? And your, as the thoughts go gurgle through your plumbing during the day about where you are at the right hand of God the Father. And that's the thing of being occupied by it. So your head is there. Now, why is that of value? Because then you let God accomplish the work in your spirit, soul, and body here on earth without human interference. Your head is up there. So down here, you're not taking your dirty fingerprints and putting it in your life. You're letting him do it. It's grace, grace, grace. And so this idea, you let God do what he wants to do. Let the persons of the Godhead. And you say, oh, that sounds like middle down Near Eastern religion. Or no, it's not. You have your mind where it is. Set your reflective thinking on things above. That's sounds like Colossians. And then the last term was employ. And that is employ the provisions of grace produced and provided by the Godhead under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now you see what happens. Let's use the illustration real quick. You've got your head at the right hand of God the Father. You're occupied up there. You're enjoying your position. The more you learn about it, the more fun it is. And you're focused on that. It's what you're thinking about. And you can be doing the dirtiest job in the world, and you can be living at the right hand while you're there in your head. You can be thinking about it. You're out of the way. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I have an awesome quote, I think. Pettengill had a great quote. I put it in your paper. I won't tell you where. But anyway, I was really appreciative of what William Pettengill... No, don't spend all the time trying to find it. But anyway, then you have the fruit of the Spirit. That's this... You let that happen. You let it happen. There are no rules by which you can gain the fruit of the Spirit. God's the one who does it. It's not anything but letting him do it. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit. How do we mature? We learn to employ that which has been produced, and we employ it by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so as we mature, you learn to direct what part of the fruit of the Spirit. In some circumstance, you may find that it's necessary, as was true in Galatians 6, to direct meekness instead of love. Or direct meekness instead of macrothumia. Okay, let's do it the easy way. Long-suffering. That's a problem when you become what I are. My head's always in that. Okay, now, where are we going? You can read a lot of this material in between. I did make quote notes, the fact that in Ephesians and Colossians they run hand in hand. But the odd thing is to have them written so close together with so many common subjects that the Holy Spirit is not mentioned but once in Colossians, and he's mentioned all over Ephesians. So it seems that the Ephesians were in need of learning something about how the Holy Spirit worked, whereas the Colossians had a relationship to Jesus Christ that was encouraged more. But he put, the Holy Spirit put some awesome truths in here. Now this is where we're going, and we're going to move right along, I trust. Okay. I haven't had this very long. It's probably going to take me 50 years to figure it out. And I'm not really planning to take it to heaven. Okay. The relationship in Christ, the believer's walk, how we order the details of our life, the passive verbs and present tense salvation, reflective thinking on things above in Colossians. We're going to touch that. And the fruit of the Spirit in the Colossian church. And I think we'll have some fun as we do that in the... we'll do this till lunch, and then I'll do the tie-off as we move later. And so that gives us an idea of where we're headed with this. And we want to start out relating to this thing of being in Christ. Now, I gave you... there are two sheets of charts that just systematizes... Now, I'm not presenting a paper. I hope you know that. I hand out a lot of paper, but I'm not presenting a paper. Because what I'm trying to do is give you some equipment so that you can do things with it. Guys in the ministry will be able to be challenged to maybe work some of these subjects or some of the these areas. Those who are not in ministry, those, you know, all of you that are equals in the body of Christ with all of us. You know, you can do some of this work on your own, and I'll tell you, if the Holy Spirit leads you to work some of these elements, it will make you stronger saints. And I'm just trying to help you go beyond, and that's the reason I have so much scripture quoted in here. I put scripture quotes in so you could see them in this matter. So we're down on page 2, Roman 1, and this deals with these relationships, and we're going to cover these as we move in this this segment. There are three things we're going to deal with grammatically. We're going to touch these in Christ. We've done it already, and like I say, this is a seminar. It's not a paper. And so when we find the in preposition. Now let me talk a teeny bit of Greek quick, and that is in can be, it's with a lib case, a dative locative instrumental case, and if it's locative, it's in. I mean, the case you have to determine by context. So in, if we want to determine that is instrumental, it would be translated by. And so that's why there's some variant. I have a few verses. In fact, I've got two verses that I tend to do that with, that says in the King James, in, and I translate it by, and then has in by, and then I translate it in, because I think it makes sense in the context of the book. I hope you learned a great deal from what Tim shared. And that is, you interpret, then that context concept is so key. It's so key. And that's key. I mean, important for us. Then we're going to look at this henny form. And this word, I mean, this form is, I love it. It's just a great form because it literally is in him is. And we'll look at that contraction in the Greek. And then the soon. And I'm just going to pick some of the high points just so we can cover them. You have all of the scripture you need in your possession. Now, whoops, I went too far. What happened? Okay, I'll wait there. Number is that supposed to be? I guess I need that one. I make these things so that I... This is the direction we will go, and you have this all in your notes. It's just a structure. We're citizens in the kingdom of God. We are in the body of Christ in the new man. It's kind of interesting. It doesn't say new man in Colossians 3:10, but it does. It's kind of funny. When I say it doesn't say it in Colossians 3:10, what the story is,
is you have an ellipsis that's filled in by the context. And so you will put Anthropos in there. Then we will look at, this fact that the believer's life is hidden in Christ, and that's where we're headed. This will be familiar to you if you've used or read or used the In Christ book. I pulled a couple of the charts out of the chart section in the back to remind us. And when we relate to this, we had an old position in fallen Adam. Wasn't the greatest place to be. I hope none of you even think you wish you were back there again. I think some Christians think it would have been better. I don't know. If you're a legalist, you'd like to be back in your old position in Adam sometimes, because it's too much work. And if you understand the grace of God, what happens, you're thrilled to be in Christ because it's no work. And that's what's so important. By the baptizing work of the Spirit, we're baptized ice into, and we end up in Christ. And that's what we're looking at this point. Now I'm on page 3. I think I'm on page 3. I want to look at a few of these. We're not going off through all of them. Being in Christ. We looked at titles, and I put them in your notes. This is just taking a segment of those titles and with the preposition, so you have them. I mentioned if you'd like to mark or underline in Christ in your Bible, these notes will get you there, either the chart or the notes. So you can, look up the verse and figure in Christ. So in Christ Jesus, in Christo Jesu, is found in two places. And on page 3, I have those noted. In 1:4, it says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have to all the saints." It's always interesting how in Christ Jesus will dominate early. It'll come up early in your statement. Now, so you have love here. That love is a part of the character of Jesus Christ, which is produced in you by the Holy Spirit because you're regenerated. And so that becomes very important to us in that matter. I put the Greek in with these so that you have it. So these pages that I've handed out, the 28 or 26, they're two pages of appendix. But those, there's more here because I put the Greek in. Because I want you to be able to if you don't know Greek, my brother would like admission for the forum to be at least the Greek alphabet. No, he didn't say that. But, that wouldn't hurt any to know the Greek alphabet. It's not that hard. Even Courtney learns that. No, he's doing a whole lot better than Greek alphabet. But it's not that really that hard, and you already know a whole lot of the English. The letters look similar, not all alike. And so I would advise that, just because if you have an interlinear, it'll help you a little bit. And if you have an interlinear and you don't know Greek, don't panic. Because the first letters are usually better than the last because they change. Because they have this case system and they put different letters on the end. And that's like I'm reading in Christo. It's not in Christos. Because that's a case. It's still Christ. And it's just the way words work together. That's why Greek is such a great language for Scripture. Then over in my next passage is... Did I forget to... this is 1:27. We or 1:28. We preach, warning whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. So you see, in Christ Jesus. Now that title, Christ, is seen as a glorified, resurrected one. You don't have a lot of Jesus Christ in the whole New Testament to relate to in. It's always up where he is. The resurrected, glorified one. And that's where he is. You get your head where he is. And you can identify with his humanity there as well.
And so this title is important. Now, I mentioned a textual problem. I did put a note in here when I used TR. It's Textus Receptus. TP is textual problem in this material, and I'm not going to worry about the textual issues. In chapter 1 and verse 2, we have just in Christ. And in Christ, whoops. Okay. I usually put accents in. I didn't have that. The accents are on Christo. We won't worry about most. You don't care. The verse says this, and I'm reading the AV. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. And so you have that statement. They're in Christ. These are real, live believers who were immersed by the grace of God into the body of Christ. And that's important. Number three, in the Lord. And there are four passages. And it's really interesting when it talks about in the Lord. Anytime you see Lord by itself, like is found four times in this book, it involves a willing submission to the head of the body as a member of the body. And so it's really kind of interesting if he really is Lord on it. I think of him as, it's something people think I'm not being very respectful, but I think of him as my ultimate boss. And, I mean, that's the way I tend to think. It's okay. I think that way. I mean, I've justified it over the years because when I think of him, I think of him, you know, as a CEO. And I use that word in a way. But in this, he's the one who is the boss in a relationship. He's the Lord. Now, in these cases, Paul picks on people. The Holy Spirit picks on people just like he does in Ephesians. When he uses in the Lord, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, your idiot husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Okay, some of you know just what I did. The word your own is idios in the Greek. Your own particular husband, not somebody else's. And so, in the Lord, so this thing of submission is a shows your relationship to the head of the body as a master. Now, it doesn't stop with wives. It goes on to Christian children. And it says, Christian children, or children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, there's lordship. And, you know, Christian kids that don't understand how Christ, or haven't even thought of making Christ Lord. And it was kind of interesting. We had a pretty decent session that went on in Woodburn two or three weeks ago. Where we spent a whole hour, not by my plan, First Peter 3:15, and to emphasize the aorist there, you know, at a point in time, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and we went through that verse and worked it. And when I got done, I said, close your eyes, raise your hands if you're going to do something about this. No, I didn't do that, but I came close. Because that's what God was doing. There were some very interesting things that were happening in that session. Where the Holy Spirit was really doing a work among those folks who were there. And it was really clear to me that almost everybody in that room was on the same page, and it was a decision that needed to be made, and some had, and maybe some hadn't. And so I said, go home and do it. No invitation on that. So I didn't put any notches on my gun. That's what happens. But that's so important. Just the idea, we've already gone through Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's another aorist. Present once and for all your body a living sacrifice. And so you have those aorists that are so key. And we did that there, and it was kind of interesting as we shared it. And it was just like, well, I don't know, Dan and Cyrus I'm mentioning the end on. We got three pastor teachers there. And well, Richard Truman's not a pastor teacher. No, I think we have more than that here. But you know, there was that sense that God was doing something special. and those who weren't pastor teachers, but it's just like that shepherd gift detects interesting things and there with his. Now, Christian children are to do that. And who did I leave out here? I didn't know what next paragraph. Tychicus is a guy who says, Tychicus would be a fun guy to know. And look at the description of him in chapter 4. It says, Tychicus declare unto you who is a loved brother, and a faithful deacon, faithful minister, doing service to the Lord, and a fellow slave in the Lord. Then those last three words in the English and the last two words in the Greek and kurio say he submitted to the Lordship of Christ, and that was what was important to him. What an awesome thing. And then Archippus, Paul addresses Archippus, and he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry, open your eyes to the service which thou hast received in the Lord, and that you fulfill it. And so he uses Lord in relation, here you have in the Lord. Okay, top four. In him, we have four of them. I have the list of them. I cannot resist going down to 2:10. Let's go to 2:9 and 10, because in him, in Christ, you have the link in him. It's in Christ, in him, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are made the fullness in him. You are complete in him. And so you have the in him replicated in the fullness. And that's key. We are in one body. Number 5. Oops, push button. And we're in that one body. I kind of smiled when Tim gave me his title, because I thought, boy, we were going to run arm in arm. It had to be so complimentary. And, that's a fun part of these forums when we do it. We don't assign anything. We have a better assigner, and that is the Holy Spirit. And, it's worked that way. I'm looking at it in this forum, how God is working things in so many ways to do that. And some of you may have brought something with you, and maybe there was one little part of one of these presentations that the Holy Spirit set up just for you. It had your name on it. And that's the way it works. Whereas if we did assign something, the Holy Spirit can still do it. But that's it's just been, I just am enamored with what God does in these things. So in one body, and he does a little different than he did in Ephesians. You are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Number 6, now I need to look on that chart. The last one in my file, of course. I have a... Okay. I'm right here. Sorry about the moment. I have a correction. I didn't put the one I marked in here. Where it says, wherein... wherein... Now I've got to look at the Greek text so I'm right. Let me look quick. I had it marked on another sheet. That didn't get in my notes. So, let's see, Colossians. That's somewhere after Hezekiah. I was right. And my memory. I'm getting old, so I have an excuse. On your chart where it says wherein, and that first box, the big box, gray-haired box. You'll see it says wherein down on the left column, and it says in auto. What we need is that letter that is here in there on 6. It's a ho. I think you can just get away with just crossing the alpha, upsilon, and tau out, and don't worry about the accent. Only the Greek professor cares about that accent. See where I am? Got it? It was just a typo. The reason it was a typo was because when you do things as fast as I sometimes have to do, I do a lot of cut and paste, and I sometimes forget to remodel the paste. Where is it again? Okay. So it's in this first box, and down at the bottom it says, wherein on the left? The Greek says, en auto, and it should be that letter that we're looking at right here. It should be hope. And we don't, I mean, it's the last letter, and it has an accent on it there. So that'll help you on it. I'm being technical. I mean, it still means in him, or in whom. Okay, so the technicality, don't let it panic you on that. Okay, so we've gone through these. I mean, I have them listed here. Number 7 is on page 5. Let me check my stuff here, because I've got to get through this. You can see 7, in him is translated wherein, and that's where I wanted to go with this, because I had put the wrong one in here. It should be a ho in here. It's right in the Greek, but it's wrong in my parentheses. Okay? So that's number 7, and you can see that letter in the Greek in the highlight, and it's in him or in whom. It should be in whom. So buried with him in baptism, in whom also we are risen with him through faith in, of the operation of God which has raised us out from among dead ones. So this end preposition, again, the reason I gave you charts is because I think in charts. I mean, I'm categorizing, and that's why you get charts from me. I have done charts from day one, I think. So you and any of the stuff you've gotten from the forum, did I do a ditto? No, I never did do a ditto. So it almost goes back to the era of dittos. And that's another process by which we reproduce things in that. And so you have the list, you have the tabs, you have 16 times in which these forms have been used, and that top section will help you mark Colossians if you want to underline them. And you'll find, when I was told to do this back in seminary days and I did it, I have been so thankful that I did it when I did. Because every time I go through these books, I see my underlines and it just keeps my head right where it needs to be. And so Colossians you can do, and you will do well with Colossians. Next, we are on page 6. This diagram is on page 6. We understand this again is out of the book. And you're in your old position in Adam. You're baptized into Christ. You are in Christ, and because you're in Christ, you're together with one another and the head. And that's what these arrows are. You're together with one another in this intimate, close, identifiable togetherness. And so this is a cohesive relationship. And our goal should be that we exist as Christians at the right hand of God the Father in a togetherness with one another and with the head. I mean, this just goes beyond just being in Christ. I mean, in Christ means you're out on a rock by yourself. No, you're in the rock. We've been doing studies in Deuteronomy 32, and halfway through the studies of the rock in that communication, or the song that's there. So, here you have a relationship with one another. And this is what this soon is all about. It's kind of interesting. There are those who emphasize in Christ truth that have very little information about soon. Kind of interesting. A fellow, Peter, Funkin' Eater, he's in Australia. Do you remember him, Richard? It's close. W. Anyway, this fellow, and Richard was the guy that found him. And he's an interesting character, but he teaches in Christ truth. He's written some booklets. I mean, his background, he is went to a Nazarene cemetery here in the United States. Nazarene Seminary. Some of his other theology is interesting. His wife is also a Rev, and that kind of thing. But, you know, he teaches In Christ Truth. He does seminars. It's interesting. We have an Australian that comes to the U.S. now and then. He's an older fellow now. And it was interesting because I've followed his work. I mean, checked him out and everything else. And I went ahead and I sent him a copy of the In Christ book. I thought he would be encouraged with this. And I sent him a copy. It cost me more to ship it than it did to buy it retail, full value. A fellow from Germany. It might be interesting if he showed up here for a forum. He talked about it. Yeah, well, he was in Atlanta sometime this week over here. And he wanted the In Christ book and the priesthood book. And I went to FedEx to see what it would cost to send it. $150. So I don't think we're going to send it FedEx on that. But anyway, see, I just about got his name. I'm not really wasting time trying to remember his name. But anyway, it was interesting when I started to look in his material, and I've seen some of the things. He got the In Christ book, and he had already got a little handle on the Soons. And I'd like to think he's got a lot better handle on them. But I was so pleased when I find this fella. You know, we sometimes feel a little isolated. And here down in Australia, this guy is on the... See, the name is just right there on the edge. He is teaching people these truths that are so important. And like I say, his theology is kind of interesting. I'd like to know whether he's believes in security or not. I mean, if you believe in positional truth, how can you not believe in security in that? But these Soons. And I've given you the list of the Soons. And I'm just going to go through a few of them. Okay? And I'm going to change my angle so I can read my computer. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. The word quickened means to make alive. So quickened together, made alive together. And so we have that soon. Where am I at here? Right there is that soon, and that's a prefix. Quicken together. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, since you are dead together with Christ. There's another soon. You read that with, and if you don't know that's a soon, you miss a huge blessing. We died together with Christ. When Christ died, I died. At least that's what God the Father thinks. And I'd rather have him think that than anybody else. You see? And so that becomes crucial to us. Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hid together with Christ. Together, that soon, that identifiable togetherness, together with Christ. Think of that. What a blessing. And all of these soons will do that for you as we relate to them. I thought I had the compilation on one of my slides, and I realized I didn't. Soon stands alone three times in Colossians, and the compound forms occur 12 times. 15 times you have soons that relate to you, or you have a together prisoner, but anyway, you have them. Now you say, well, I saw some of those in Ephesians. Well, that's one reason you might want to take Ephesians along with Colossians if you're on a desert island. And because Ephesians has 16 instead of 15, so there's one more. Ephesians only has two standalone soons, and it has 14 composite forms, compound forms. So you see how important this is in God's word in these little epistles. And I'm not going to, I hate to, I'm skipping things that I don't like to skip. It is just so much fun just to teach this. This list is something that is very teachable out of Colossians and all of the other places where they occur. Okay, now we've dropped down. You didn't know how fast we could go to page 8. We are on page 8. Page 8. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. AB translates the power. Anytime you see power in your King James Version and most other versions, you need to find out which Greek word it is. Because there's a collection of them. You have four consequential major ones. And so when we look at, and the word for power here is this word exousias, and it means authority. We were under the authority of darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of the manifestation of the life of God. And so if you're going to be involved with darkness, you're not in a place where God's life can be manifested. And that becomes, I mean, that's, I hope that as we mature, that that becomes something we never ever want to have happen again. Because we were there in that. And so we were delivered from the authority of darkness, and he has translated or transferred us, and that's his metastasen, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of the love of him, of his love. Now, so far we've gone how many hours? We've been in this for a quarter and a half in the Bible study at Woodburn, and I'm a long ways from the end of it, on that kingdom. It's just, what a privilege. You are a king in a kingdom. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a guy or a gal. You're a king in the kingdom. You know, you're a priest. Doesn't make any difference gender. Because we're going to see that as we move on in this segment. And so this is something we learn in this book. We're in a kingdom that's special. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. But we have a relationship in it where everybody's equal in the kingdom. Every king is a king over, I mean, equally so, wherever, whatever. God does not seem to distribute anything to us. It may be part of the grace privilege later, after we get to heaven. But we are all totally equal. And he may be doing, and I think Tim was the one that mentioned that, how that can work, possibly. We have to speculate because God left out a few verses. Well, some of us think he did. We would like to have some, where we have a lot of curiosity. Body of Christ, you have this list on page 9. And where am I in the body? In page 9, I'd like to go through the other material that relates to this kingdom. You know, we have a high priest that has passed through the heavens, Hebrews 4, and that's in the middle paragraph on page 9. But the body, these are terms that are used, and I just went and made a list of them, though you don't have, you know, you have body used in a little different way in Colossians. But in our verses that relate, where am I? I'm looking for something that I thought I had right here. Okay. So, body of Christ. New man. Okay, I can show you this. I wanted to have you look this up just so that you'll understand this. Colossians 3:10 says, "Stop lying to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man." See, and you can see old man is in, you know, in regular font. With his deeds, with his works, and have put on like a garment the new. And you notice man is in italics in your King James and most of them. That is okay. That would be what we call an ellipsis. It makes perfect sense because you have man, anthropos man here, and it makes sense. And so it doesn't say new man in Greek, but it does in Greek when you fill in an ellipsis. Is that making any sense? It's kind of an interesting problem. And so, which is renewed,
in full experiential, a quality of full experiential knowledge. It's not just experiential knowledge, it's full experiential knowledge. It's epigenosko, and a quality of epigenosko, after the image of him that created him. Created, new man. I think it's awesome when you realize that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creating, creation, not a creature. And it's interesting when you see that word creating, it describes an act of creating something out of nothing. And you are in the new man, which is created out of nothing. Zilch, zero. It never existed before. And you are a part of that when Christ baptizes you into Christ. Okay. Establishing the fact that the believers in Christ, I'm on 10. Oops, how did I get there? I got my wrong things up here. Oh, okay, I know where I am. This is the next one up. I guess we can read it since I want to move faster than this. But since you've been risen together with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand. Set your frame of mind, your affection, your reflective thinking on things above will be back, not on things on earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden together with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. This is an extremely important passage, because there are some little teeny connections here that are, you have soon together with Christ in God the Father. And it's interesting, you indwell the Father because you are in the Father because you are together with Christ and seen with Him. Some very interesting things to think about when we work that. Now my goal is to do this very quickly. Okay. We're down on the bottom of the page, believe it or not, of page 10. And so he says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, and now is manifest to his saints, to whom God desires to make known experientially what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, each one, mature in Christ. And so, you see, here, you see, this is the only time we have a description of the fact that Christ is in us. It's the only time that we have a reference to any person of the deity indwelling us in this book. But this verse is the pivotal verse in the area of chapter 1 and chapter 2. They just are right there, and it's a revelation of something that had been hidden, and now it's manifested, and so it becomes a dominant verse, and that's why I did a separate point on it. Because we have the indwelling of God the Father in us, and that indwelling is important. Now, around here we see this rather often. This is a logo that I use in a lot of things. I have a bulletin cover, and I keep pulling it out to remind us. And you see what it says around the rim of this, if you haven't seen this before? It says, what it means to be a Christian. This is what it's all about. You know, if somebody asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian, what would your answer be? Would you dare say, three and me and three? Most people wouldn't understand that. But that is, we have three persons of the Godhead that are in me. And I am in three persons of the Godhead in a position. So this is positional, where I am in the three persons of the Godhead, and their relationship to me is more intimate than ever when we go beyond in Christ. I intended to do a section of notes in Woodburn on the two elements of being, I mean, of of being in the Father and being in the Holy Spirit. I just line listed them because we ran out of time. And so the three are in me. That's the other side of it, of in. And that's so important as we relate to it. And when you get that, it keeps it simple. And if you understand this, understand that's what makes you a Christian. God got involved in your life so much that he put you in a position in the three persons of the Godhead, and he put the three persons of the Godhead in you. Quality. Doesn't make you God. So this is so crucial, and it's such, I like this, and so I've used it for years because it is so important.
Okay, let's just pass the rest of this note. Bottom of 11, 12, 13, top of 14 gives you a list. Some of you may have heard a paper I did many years ago on the benefits of regeneration. I put that material in here so you have an outline of it. Some of you will use it for your own study. It's really a blessing to know what you got because you were born from above. You were born again. That's what that list is. So I can get away with moving that fast with it. And so my game plan, I didn't do too bad for that. We will come back and sail through the walk section. And we'll be working where we're headed. When we get to the end of this, we'll be moving to communion. But you know what is so interesting? My last point, I just determined I was going to put the fruit of the Spirit in there. 8 of the 9 parts of the fruit of the Spirit are mentioned in Colossians. That's exceptional. And we have that. And okay, I'll tell you. Pettengill's quote is at the end of the appendix. Okay. Father, may you bless as we move now to mealtime and the fellowship there. It's so nice because we're able to go there, and as believers, we're in Christ together. We can manifest that when we get together and we have some fellowship. And true biblical fellowship between saints would be soon. It's together. It's so together. May that all be happening. And we're thankful for the food and all of those who have helped in preparing it. In Christ's name, amen.